Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by SDR Pods. Learn how we can build you a fully equipped sales development team to execute on personalized multi-channel prospecting and book you more meetings at the link below.
It's difficult to sell into a highly regulated industry. Whether you're selling into petroleum and coal, pharmaceuticals, or like my guest, technology and cyber, regulations are constantly changing and your customers expect you to adjust and come out ahead of these changes at every turn. But if you don't have a good strategy for keeping up to date with everything going on in your industry, you're never going to build the trust you need with your prospects. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about selling into ever-changing, highly regulated industries. He's an account executive with the Commercial Insurance Department of Hub International Insurance Brokers, specializing in technology and cyber products. In this role, he's responsible for providing insurance and risk management solutions to public and private companies. He was the first person in Western Canada to receive the Cyber COPE Insurance Certification designation, is a Canadian accredited insurance broker, a certified risk manager, and was named Elite Broker by Insurance Business Canada in 2016. Derek May, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So to give our guests or our listeners some context, tell us about what you do at Hub International.
Yeah, sure. So I'm an account executive, as you mentioned, which basically means that I'm speaking with the clients directly. I work across Canada with technology companies, of all varying types and sizes. And then I work with companies in all industries to sell cyber products. So for the technology companies, a lot of it is, you know, software related. They're producing a product and we're trying to keep them compliant with their contracts, mainly from an insurance perspective. But essentially, if they get sued from one of their clients because of a financial loss, we would be there to cover it. And then for the other half is the cyber insurance for all industries. And so we've heard a lot about data breaches in the news lately. And so if a client of ours was to get breached, we would help them through that scenario with responding to the breach, notifying affected individuals and keeping them compliant with all the privacy laws around the world.
Okay, awesome. So it sounds like on the technology side, you're kind of assessing potential risk and helping the clients not break the regulations, whereas on the cyber side, it's more kind of reactive. If there is a breach, you kind of help them clean up the mess.
Yeah, certainly that's the main aspect. We're always trying to preach risk management on the front end. You know, we want to use that insurance policy as a safety net only. Right. So we hope we never get there. Both with my technology clients and, you know, all industries with the cyber, we're hoping that we never have to actually file a claim. Now, when the claim does happen, we would have a whole team of experts that would surround them to make sure that claim goes as smoothly as possible.
Okay, got it. So let's talk about in kind of legal terms or regulatory terms, what are the biggest risks that each of your clients on the tech side, the cyber side, are trying to avoid?
Yeah, so on the tech side, you know, really they're agreeing with, a lot of my clients, again, Canadian-based, that are signing typically fairly big contracts with U.S.-based customers. The U.S. is a highly, highly litigious environment. And so what we're seeing is a dramatic increase in, contractual requirements of our insureds here in Canada. And the U.S. companies that they're partnering with are wanting, more confirmation that they have appropriate coverages in place. They want higher limits. They want broader coverage. And so they're really pushing the envelope as to what the insurance policy can provide. And on the cyber side, you know, really what we're trying to do is stay on top of all the privacy legislations that are coming out around the world. So many, many people would have heard of GDPR, which was the big release in the EU. We've then seen Canada change our own Digital Privacy Act, or PIPEDA, to bring in mandatory notification across Canada. We have CCPA in California, which is really pushing the envelope as to what privacy legislation should look like in the world. So they're sort of building on GDPR. the other 49 states in the US all have their own patchwork of cyber laws that we have to keep compliant with. And then finally, you know, Australia would be another one that has a fairly robust policy in place. So again, you know, working with our insureds to know that if they're selling into these different jurisdictions, that they not only have to worry about the local requirements, but also what those requirements are around the world. And hopefully they don't run afoul of them, because there can be some fairly severe fines and penalties that come along with it.
Okay, great. So as you mentioned, there's a ton of different regulations, not only kind of in the place where the person is selling from, but where they're selling into. So there's a lot that you guys at Hub need to be aware of, because you need to know anything that your clients might be worried about. How do you stay up to date on all of those regulations and kind of changes that happen to those regulations?
Yeah, I mean, really, the only way you can do that is to, you know, jump with both feet into this industry. You can't sell cyber insurance or you know, really technology insurance on the side. You have to be fully invested in this side of the business. So, you know, a lot of the information that I'm getting is from webinars from the different insurance companies. There's a lot of lawyers and law firms that are offering webinars that we can attend. We're going to cyber conferences, not so much in the era of COVID, but certainly before and hopefully after. We're going to be going to, you know, cyber conferences around the world just to stay abreast of what's going on. But, you know, mainly it's just a lot of personal due diligence, trying to follow the resources, and it's all basically self-learning, and to kind of put myself in that position where I can advise the clients accordingly.
Right. So it's kind of the responsibility of each salesperson to do their own due diligence. What about, how do you kind of keep track of it all? Once you've gone out and gone to these webinars and gone to these conferences and found out all of these regulations, where do you store all that information so that you can use it?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's just, in my brain, I guess. Yeah. You know, what happens is that, you know, we take some of that information back. Obviously we try to write it down and cause you know, surely you can't remember everything, but, you know, I keep, you know, some notebooks and some different reference materials, the materials that I can tap into. And really it comes down to just having these daily conversations with clients, you know, that really keeps all of that information top of mind. And so, you know, I just noticed, I was reading an article this morning about how the Uber chief security officer has now been, had charges filed against him from a data breach stemming back to 2016. So just by reading that article this morning, I was now able to bring it up on this podcast today. And, you know, it's a really big deal, because here you had Uber, one of the biggest, most well-known brands in the world. Now we're getting criminal, you know, charges filed against the CSO because of improper behavior in covering up that data breach from 2016. And this is really the first time that such a highly public figure is being, you know, scrutinized to this extent for a cyber breach. So I think it's really some dramatic news that we learned today, and it's definitely going to shift the way that people treat these types of losses, because no longer can you just sweep them under the rug. You need to follow the appropriate steps. And again, that's where the cyber policy comes in to help the clients do that.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely a very high profile case, and maybe it'll kind of nudge some other companies in the right direction if they see that, yeah, a company as big as Uber, who presumably has all the resources to sweep it under the rug, if even they get caught out, then we all better comply.
Yep. Yeah. The ramifications are no longer fines and penalties. We're now looking at criminal convictions and some fairly hefty jail time to come along with it.
Makes sense. Okay. So back to the kind of, you compile all this information, obviously you're reading articles and that kind of stuff. You're kind of staying ear to the ground so that you can know of any changes that are coming up. You take notes and everything so that you know it, but is there any way that you have to like share it across the company? Does the whole company need to be kind of kept abreast of all of these changes to make any changes in marketing or content or anything like that?
Yeah, so we certainly hold webinars or internal webinars, or we do lunch and learns, things like that, just to keep everybody familiar of the changes. But you know, really, like I mentioned, unless you have 2 feet into this into this world, it's really hard to stay abreast of everything. So we do our best to try to share the information across the organization, but that's really my job, is they come to me for this expertise. So typically, if one of our other salespeople has a large client that they would like me to explore cyber options with, they would tap me to come in and to assist them in selling that to the client. They would typically not try to do that on their own. They might know enough to be dangerous, but that's sometimes too much. So we want to try to go the appropriate method and to bring the specialist in to assist with that placement.
Okay, awesome. That what you mentioned there, kind of coming in and being this expert for the clients, that's something I want to dig into a little bit later here in the podcast. I think that's something that has come up a lot in this highly regulated industry series. It seems to be a common theme. So we will dig into that. But first, I want to ask you, kind of a good example was you saw the article on Uber. That was like, now it's a conversation piece that you have kind of around your industry and what you can help companies avoid. How do you use new pieces of information as kind of a trigger for outreach, whether it's to kind of engage with a new client or re-engage an existing client?
Yeah. So just as an example with COVID, data breaches have gone up, exponentially since this all started. And, so it was a timely piece that we created just in the last couple of months here to send out to all of our clients, just to remind them to be on alert because of COVID. We're seeing dramatic increase in hacking attempts and bad actors doing bad things as they tend to do. So, sending out that communication to our clients, letting them know that the stats, letting them know what they can do to protect themselves. That's how we're really trying to push this information into their hands. And that way we can do it on a broad, scale and really communicate that effectively.
Awesome. So that actually does feed into that same theme of kind of being that this kind of value-added partner. Mm-hmm. It's a way that a previous guest mentioned it was being a value-added partner rather than just another vendor. You don't want to just be somebody that's selling to that company. Yeah. You need to bring them value. So how do you think that you kind of set yourself apart as this value-added partner as a
salesperson? Yeah, good question. I mean, I've never viewed myself as a salesperson, and I still don't. I mean, it's just not what I am. I'm not here selling something. I'm there to, sort of advocate for the client. I'm there to be their outsourced risk manager. A lot of the clients that we work with in Canada aren't big enough to have internal people that specialize in this space. Certainly the Fortune 500 companies do, but those aren't the people that we're working with in the mid-market space in Canada. And so they can use me as their trusted resource. We're at least some of the people in this industry, and we are commissioned salespeople. And so sometimes that can have a bad connotation out there in the world where people think, oh, well, commission, he's only in it for the bottom dollar. And, he's only going to sell me stuff to make money. And, for me, I actually view it as the opposite approach. I think commission is good in this way because, we're trying to build lifelong relationships with our clients. And the only way you can do that is through trust. If the client doesn't trust you, they're not going to be with you for very long. And that would then defeat the purpose of me trying to, make more money. We want to have 30-year clients, not 2-year clients. And in the insurance world with renewals and everything like that, that's definitely, the route that you want to go. So, again, we're trying to advocate on their behalf. We're trying to, provide best practice. We're trying to prevent that breach from occurring in the first place, so we never have to use the policy. Sure, they're going to pay for the premium, to have that policy as the safety net. But it would be a lot more expensive if they incur a whole bunch of claims, and now Right. The rates go up and everything. So we're trying to mitigate that on the front end.
Right. Makes sense. Let's dig more into that kind of trust piece. Something that you mentioned earlier on in the podcast is, I can't remember how you kind of phrased it, but it was something about the client needs to be like assured or you need to confirm to the client that they're covered in all these ways. So that's something that you need to build the trust. You need to basically, prove to them that you are going to be there to cover their asses when they need it. So how do you kind of inspire confidence in a client through the kind of sales process that you will in fact be there to kind of catch them if anything goes awry?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is just how you approach each conversation with the client. So if you're constantly saying to them, oh, that's a really good question, let me check on that for you, or hey, give me a week and I'll get back to you. Clearly, you don't know your stuff. And so we've had numerous clients come to us and are now current clients as a result of that exact scenario. So they were working with a different broker who maybe didn't specialize in this space. They were asking questions and they just weren't getting direct responses. They were getting a lot of deferrals. And then they started speaking to myself, who has a little bit, obviously, more experience in this area, and they were getting direct, immediate feedback. And that's really how you set yourself apart, is that, you can be there when the client needs it and give immediate responses, because as the world evolves, everything is quick, 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 and they need it today. And if you're taking a week to get back to the client on a very, simple answer, you're going to expose yourself pretty quickly as not being as educated in the space as you need to be.
Right. Makes sense. So it all comes back to that, doing your research, being this kind of this expert in the field that they can go to for any answer at a moment's notice, and kind of, being that value-added partner, as we've said time and time again. Finally, the last kind of theme that again has come up in this series is around reputation. Reputation both for the salesperson and for the company. And you've kind of touched on it earlier in the conversation about if you're kind of known as the salesperson who's going just for the commission, people don't trust you and they're not going to stay for a long time. So how do you think reputation impacts your job kind of in this space?
That's huge. I would like to think I'm sort of one of the go-to resources in this space in Canada, definitely in Western Canada. And that's taken 8+ years of a lot of hard work, attending industry events, pounding the pavement and building that reputation. It doesn't happen overnight. I was very lucky to have a mentor, two mentors actually, when I started at Hub, that have been instrumental in my progress. And they described this flywheel that, at the very beginning, it's barely moving. And as you put more and more effort into it, it becomes effortless, really, to keep that wheel moving. And so there was a lot of heavy lifting at the early stages, getting the wheel moving. And now it's becoming faster and faster. And by no means is it done yet, but that'll continue to become easier as the years go on. But essentially, just the hard work, building that reputation, doing what's right for the customer. Never putting yourself out there and being unethical, or overstepping your knowledge, having the due diligence in place before you answer the question. These are what the client, this is how you build that trust, this is how you get the referrals, this is how you build your name in the industry, and being cognizant that all it takes is one misstep to potentially damage that reputation. Right. So I've always tried to do everything, completely above board, as anybody should, and to make sure that the due diligence, like I said, is in place before you go back to the client and you start to, answer the questions or put yourself out there.
Awesome. Well, are there any other kind of unique challenges or skills that you think you've acquired selling into this particular space or selling these particular kind of cyber products? Anything we've missed, basically?
I think you're always learning, and that you mentioned off the top when you introduced me that I did the Cyber Cope insurance certificate program through Carnegie Mellon University in the US. And, I really jumped at the chance to do that course because some of the best chief information security officers or CSOs come out of that program or a program that's tailored more to the CSOs instead of insurance people. But what I needed to recognize in myself was, hey, I don't know as much about the IT sector as I should. I'm a business person with a specialization in insurance. These people are IT experts. And so I need to put myself in their shoes. And so how can I do that? Well, it's attending courses like that, spending the time to build my knowledge in that area, to never stop learning, to always try to put yourself in the shoes of your client. To better understand when they come to me with a whole bunch of technology acronyms, to understand what they're actually saying, instead of just nodding politely. So, I think selling is all about, again, personal development. And the more that you can relate to your client, the better chances you'll have at being successful.
Amazing. Well, great advice, Derek. And thank you so much for being a guest on the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Really interesting for me to have a conversation with somebody in this space. It's not often that I get to do that. And so, yeah, you've been a wonderful addition perspective-wise to this Selling into Highly Regulated Industry series. If people want to learn more from you or more about Hub, or they want to get in touch with you, where could they do that?
Yeah, easiest place. We're actually just in the process of rebuilding our site. So www.hubtechnology.ca would be the best way. And otherwise, if you call Hub International, they'll know how to patch you through to me. And but yeah, all of my contact info would be on hubtechnology.ca. And like I said, it is under construction, but we will have the new site up very shortly.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on the show, and thank you guys for listening. Have a good one.